This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Insurance subsidies ending. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Friday, October 13, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Trump administration says it will end payments to insurance companies under the Obamacare health law. Meanwhile, the president has also signed a separate executive order.
As the death toll climbs again from the California wildfires, conditions could worsen tonight since heavy winds return to the forecast.
President Trump expected to announce he won't certify Iran's compliance with a nuclear deal. We'll examine the implications.
And the least valuable master's degrees based on what you'll earn in the future.
They're spending a ton of money to get these degrees. Average debt for a person with a Master of Arts degree, $59,000 roughly. That's quite a bit. That's up from $38,000 in 2004. So
Wow. More
people are getting master's degrees and they're spending more, they're accruing more debt to get them.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com has a look at master's degrees that have the most and least value. Her list in about 20 minutes. President Trump has signed an executive order on health care intended to take down the controversial Affordable Care Act. Yesterday's move opens the door for a proliferation of less expensive insurance plans with fewer benefits for those who buy their insurance individually rather than getting it through an employer.
We are going to also pressure Congress very strongly to finish the repeal and the replace of Obamacare once and for all. We will have great healthcare.
Separately, the Trump administration last night announced it will end cost-sharing reduction subsidies to insurance companies. But the Wall Street Journal says the president indicated he would support a bipartisan deal that would preserve them, in which Republicans would gain flexibility in allowing states to implement Obamacare. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
The president is sabotaging health care, and we have no action in the Congress.
Other administration actions could include measures to curb the consolidation of hospitals, doctors, and insurers, which can drive up prices. Part of President Trump's executive order is aimed at encouraging cheap, loosely regulated health insurance plans that don't have to comply with certain Obamacare consumer protections and benefit rules. Ideally, they'd attract younger and healthier people. More from Adam Kankren, healthcare reporter at Politico. Adam, set this up.
So essentially, for months, Republicans in Congress have tried to repeal and replace Obamacare. They failed multiple times and eventually said, look, you know, this isn't something that we're going to be able to do this year. So what the president is essentially doing is taking advantage of his executive powers and ordering several agencies to rewrite or reinterpret rules to allow plans that aren't regulated under the Obamacare markets and standards to be sold essentially alongside these more highly regulated Obamacare plans. So it's a little complicated, but the upshot is that there are going to be a raft of new, loosely regulated, cheaper plans available. But the downside is that risks drawing, you know, and deteriorating the Obamacare markets that are a little bit more highly regulated.
All right, so who benefits here under this executive order?
The biggest beneficiaries would be younger and healthier people. So they would be able to, under what this order, you know, ideally would do, they would be able to buy short-term health insurance policies that can last for up to a year, and those would be cheaper because they wouldn't have to cover all the things that ACA plans have to do. So they wouldn't cover pre-existing conditions. They wouldn't cover mental health services or prescription drug benefits, things like that, that make policies more expensive.
Right.
Also, it would help businesses that have, you know, predominantly younger and healthy workforces. They could form an association, buy an association health plan, and those would be cheaper because they wouldn't have to cover certain things like these minimum essential benefits, so prescription drug benefits, mental services, health services, and things like that.
Would this be somewhat of a maybe competitive boost to a small business then, who might at least be able to say, yes, we do offer some health coverage?
It could. It essentially gives them another option. So the best example here perhaps is companies that operate a lot of franchises, think Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's.
Okay.
And what it would allow them to do is say, we're going to band all of our franchises together across states, perhaps, and offer employees of those franchises a single health plan, rather than having to state by state, franchise by franchise, you know, go into the small group market and buy an ACA plan. Now, as a result, the plan that they offer, you know, across state markets banded together may not be as robust as what you would normally have to offer under the ACA. But it gives them another option to find something cheaper.
Mm. We're speaking with Adam Cankren, healthcare reporter at Politico, about his piece entitled Fed Up with Congress, Trump Whacks Obamacare with His Pen. How does the insurance industry like this, by the way? Do they feel like, well, at least we're getting some money from young, healthy people? Or is this a loss for them, or what?
No, the insurance industry is not happy with this at all. Basically, what this does is they've grown used to the Obamacare markets. You don't have to compete for, you know, based on what kind of services you're offering. Everything is kind of standardized. And what that allows them to do is basically, you know, not have to worry about attracting, you know, a certain mix. They have to take everybody, and then they just kind of have to, you know, operate within that system. This, you know, number one, would reintroduce a lot of kind of competitive dynamics that they've gotten away from and haven't kind of had to worry about for years. And also it opens the door to new competitors, to insurers, newly formed insurers that figure, hey, I think I can go and attract mostly younger and healthy and profitable members. And so it creates an aspect of kind of new competition there.
Okay. What does this mean for Obamacare, by the way?
That's kind of the main question. So a lot depends on how the agencies write these rules. The worst case scenario is they write the rules so that a lot of people can get out of the Obamacare markets and into these association health plans or these short-term insurance policies.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Cankren, healthcare reporter at Politico. President Trump is expected to announce today that he will not certify Iran's compliance with the 2015 multinational nuclear agreement. What exactly does that mean? Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
Refusing to certify that Iran is in compliance does not mean the U.S. is pulling out of the accord. In addition, Mr. Trump is not expected to ask Congress to reimpose economic sanctions that have been lifted as part of the agreement. But it could send the White House down a road of trying to change a deal that U.S. allies still support. The Wall Street Journal says the president is also expected to designate Iran's elite military branch, the Revolutionary Guard, as a terrorist organization. Iran vowed a crushing response if that happens. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Journal says Mr. Trump's speech will mark the end of a months-long Iran policy review. Now, Congress has 60 days to consider reinstating sanctions that had been lifted under the terms of that nuclear accord. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Good news and bad news regarding the Northern California wildfires. Firefighters gained ground yesterday on the flames, but the death toll climbed. There are now 31 people dead, with still hundreds missing in the chaos of mass evacuations. The fires in the heart of the state's wine country marked the greatest loss of life from a single California wildfire event in recorded state history. Two more people right now than the 29 killed by the Griffith Park fire of 1933 in L.A. Officials say power lines toppled by gale force winds on Sunday night may have sparked the fires, and heavy winds are in the forecast again for tonight. Here's Cal Fire spokesman Steve Kaufman.
We're expecting winds that could be almost to the force that we saw on Sunday and Monday. So we're not out of the woods yet. We still have danger ahead of us.
With 3,500 homes and businesses incinerated, the so-called North Bay Fire also ranks among the most destructive. The flames have scorched more than 190,000 acres. That's an area nearly the size of New York City. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. For decades, one big razor company relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of customers. Along come two guys, Jeff and Andy, who got fed up with getting ripped off, so they launched Harry's to revolutionize the shaving industry. You get a great shave at a great price. The razors get delivered to your door. The look of the shaver is cool. They've got also this really excellent new and improved ergonomic handle. The team at Harry's, by the way, is so confident in the quality of their stuff, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. All you do is cover the cost of shipping when you sign up, and the shave set is yours for free. Plus, as a special offer right now for fans of this program, you can go to harrys.com, enter the code DEAL at checkout, and they'll toss in a post-shave bomb, also free. That's harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and enter the code DEAL at checkout. You get your great shave set for free, plus the post-shave bomb when you enter my code as part of their trial set to get you on board. Again, harrys.com, enter the code DEAL at checkout. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, in a brash move likely to roil insurance markets, President Trump will immediately halt payments to insurers under the Obama-era health care law he has been trying to unravel for months.
This will cost the United States government virtually nothing, and people will have great, great health care. And when I say people, I mean by the millions and millions.
The White House also says the government cannot legally continue to pay the so-called cost-sharing subsidies because they lack a formal authorization by Congress. Democrats and some in the insurance industry say Trump is taking dangerous actions that will harm older and sicker people who most need coverage. Opponents say they're prepared to go to court to protect the ACA. The retired general brought in to instill order at a chaotic White House made a rare public appearance to declare he's staying in his post and to insist that the president's volatile Twitter feed isn't making his job harder. Chief of Staff John Kelly says unless things change, he's not quitting or getting fired, and he's not trying to control the president.
I was not sent in or I was not brought to this job to control anything but the flow of information to our president so that he can make the best decisions.
Kelly's comments reflect ongoing turmoil in the top ranks of a White House riven by staff changes and internal feuds. Millions of Social Security recipients and other retirees can expect another small increase in benefits next year. The annual increase to be announced this morning will be about 2% or $25 a month for the average beneficiary. The defending World Champion Series Cubs are moving on. They rallied to beat the Nationals in the deciding Game 5 of the NLDS last night, 9-8. Dave Fleming on ESPN Radio.
Pitch is pulled on the ground, fair by the dive of Rendon down the left field line, hit it toward the corner around third. Contreras, he'll score. Zobrist coming around third, they're going to send him. The relay home is too late. Zobrist scores.
The Cubs will meet the Dodgers in the NLCS, which gets underway tomorrow night.
I thought this was the year for the Nationals.
Guess not.
I thought last year was the year for the Nationals.
I guess not.
Oh boy. Misery in the nation's capital.
Chicago's happy.
At the expense of the Nets. Thanks, Jen. It's 22 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. It's a growing trend these days to get a master's degree, but is it worth it? Katie Hill at Moneyish.com took a look at the least valuable and most valuable master's degrees. Katie, what should we know?
So the number one, at least in terms of pay, most worthless graduate degree is in human services.
Mm.
By your mid-career, with 10 years of experience, with a master's in that, you're still only making about $46,600.
Wow.
So that one is going to be rough for you paying back your student loans.
Wow. So that's, I mean, that's not a very good return on investment.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You know what? There's quite a few other ones that are coming in real close to that one, so we can't just pick on that one. Number two on the list, early childhood education.
Really?
You're making under 50. Yep. Under $50,000 with that degree mid-career after 10 years working
wow.
in the field. Yeah, and then a couple of them are in counseling. And then there's things like museum studies, divinity, art therapy, library science. Those are all hitting the top 10. None of these, even after 10 years of experience, makes more than about $55,000 a year.
Wow. Museum
yeah.
studies.
That's apparently a master's. I also wasn't aware of that until that was sent to me.
That's what I was going to ask. That's really a thing?
I guess you manage a museum, although I'm not sure. But yes, that is a master's degree. The human services degree, you know, look, it's helpful, right? You're going to help vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there's probably a lot of intrinsic reward in that, although fewer than two-thirds of people with that degree report high job satisfaction, I think because it's super stressful. you're probably dealing with small budgets and you have way too many people to help. But I think a lot of people, and I look on Twitter, I mean, a lot of people feel a lot of real personal satisfaction.
Sure,
they feel
sure.
like they're doing something meaningful to the world. So I will say that about that degree.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. Her piece looks at the most worthless graduate degrees in America, and it also looks at the most valuable degrees in America. What'd you find on that side?
Yeah, well, this one is not going to surprise anyone. Engineering and healthcare and computer science are topping the list. So the number one master's degree to get if you want to make money is nurse anesthesia. So that's a nursing degree and this extra certification in anesthesia. You make by mid-career $165,000.
Wow.
So that is a very, very good return on investment typically. There's high demand for these jobs, right? Not a lot of – there's a decent amount of nurses, but this very specialized thing is in high demand. People need them, and it pays really, really well.
Boy, talking about two, like the STEM field, science, technology, engineering, math. I'm looking at the list. I'm seeing engineering, math and stats, science, a lot of that.
Yep, you're right. The STEM fields come after that. It's like it's healthcare and science and technology. But yeah, telecom engineering is number two, finance, economics, number three, and then electrical engineering, computer engineering, biomedical engineering. I mean, engineering, computer science is on the list. And then corporate finance also on the list. All of these by mid-career, you're making more than $125,000 a year. So you're going to have a lot easier time, I would guess, paying off those student loans.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, October 13, some of our top stories and headlines. The Trump administration is ending subsidies to health insurance companies. The president will not certify that Iran is in compliance with a nuclear deal. Death toll from California wildfires is now 31. Obama administration officials answer questions before Congress today related to Russian election meddling. Eagles beat the Panthers in Thursday night football. And the Twitter account defending NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Guess who runs it? That story in about 20 minutes. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Las Vegas? Bright lights, buzzing casinos, thumping clubs, concerts. The mass shooting on October 1st that killed 58 and injured about 500 more has put the close-knit community of families, schools, and churches on rare display. It's the side of Vegas many who visit there rarely see. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton. Jim, what'd you find there?
So Gordon, I mean, I think a lot of people go to Las Vegas and they see it's Celine Dion, you know, Mandalay Bay, MGM, the glitz, the glamour, those giant marquees. You know, it's a very big-time city and with a lot of big-time visitors. But I don't think a lot of people realize that beyond the Strip, really it's just a regular people working in kind of a regular town, and they've been impacted by the shooting tragedy in a very big way. So it's kind of like a big, small town.
Yeah, it's almost like we all observe Las Vegas from afar. You know, we zip in for a long weekend to visit sometimes. We pull out, and, you know, as they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I mean, I don't know, maybe ordinarily associate, people actually live and work there and have lives and are close and are friendly. But You tell a couple of anecdotes in this story, too, about, you know, just worrying about friends and family who might have been at that concert.
Exactly. You know, there was a firefighter that was, you know, there responding, and actually his he knew his teenage daughter was also at the same concert.
Oh, man.
So the whole time he is, you know, working to, you know, treat people that were injured, he was worried about his own daughter. I mean, she ended up, you know, safe and everything, and there's others. There's the city attorney of Las Vegas, Brad Jerbick. He knew that his, you know, close friend and coworker, Cameron Robinson, is a country western buff. He was going to be going to the concert. In fact, he had texted some photos of himself with a, you know, after drinking some Bloody Marys just a few hours before, and like, wish you could be here. And Brad didn't find out until the next morning. He heard about the shooting. He says, "Oh no. What happened to Cameron?" Mm-hmm. And then he found out that poor Cameron actually had died. He was one of the victims. So very poignant. This has affected a lot of people in a very personal way in Las Vegas.
I think as I started to realize the closeness of Vegas, the time was, what was it, the next day or so, right, within hours, and all those folks had lined up for blood donations.
Yeah, it was just an incredible outpouring. That's kind of what gave me the idea to do this story. I heard that, you know, there was lines up to, you know, hours long. Somebody said 8 hours long for, you know, to give blood. I went to a Catholic Charities donation facility in Las Vegas, and there were people lined up. They have one truck full of 24,000 pounds of food and water, and it's just an outpouring. And probably the most incredible thing is they decided, like on Tuesday, we want to build a memorial garden to these victims. And so the city, you know, donated a half acre of land, and literally hundreds of volunteers came out, and they planted trees, swung picks, you know, laid irrigation sprinklers, and by Friday it was done. So they now have a healing garden.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton. His piece is called "Beyond Vegas's Glitz: A Close-Knit Community Rallies in Tragedy." Was this a surprise to you, I guess, as you started piecing this together?
A total surprise, really, Gordon, because, I mean, I've been to Vegas, and, you know, I mean, I guess down deep on you, it's just kind of it's a fantasy. I mean, they, you know, in fact, you know, Brad Jerbick told me that, you know, there's two Las Vegases, the one that we market,
yeah,
and then the one that's real.
Mm.
And that really what happened here, I mean, what you're seeing here is this is the real Las Vegas. And all those people you see on the strip, you go into a fancy hotel and they're smiling, "How you doing, sir? Have a great time." Those people all have homes, they all have families, they have schools, churches, like any place else. And that's what really came out, is this is a real community that got hurt in a real way.
The healing garden that came together so fast struck me, too. I mean, you had to get government involved and normally think, oh, red tape, this will be months, lovely idea. And here the thing was, by the end of the week, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, they wanted to do something profound and to give people, you know, something to, like, vent, you know, instead of just sitting there watching TV and being upset, let's go out and do something to help. And, in fact, this healing garden, there were, I mean, the city, as you said, they cleared the red tape. It was a unanimous vote of the city council, donate the half-acre of land near downtown Vegas. And they did this, like, Tuesday. And on a Wednesday, the volunteers had already shown up. At like 4:30 in the morning, there were volunteers. People wanted to work.
Jeez.
And actually, I interviewed a high school teacher. There's 39 high school students wanted to volunteer for the project. They all had white T-shirts on. And, you know, I asked one of the kids, you know, what are you getting out of this? And he said, "This just makes me feel 1,000 times better about myself, just and just at least I can give back and do something." So it's the idea of doing something rather than just sitting back and, wow, and being upset.
It's a good story. Thanks, Jim. Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton, who paid a visit to Las Vegas. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, @GordonDeal. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So we told you earlier this week about the unbelievable lengths that people have been going to get their hands on Szechuan sauce, the limited edition condiment that was brought back temporarily by McDonald's last weekend. Fans of the sauce were lined up around the block, and police even had to be called in one instance to tamp down customers who were angry that the sauce was distributed in such limited quantities. Now, the online bartering has begun, and according to Eater.com, One lucky woman was able to swap one packet of the sauce for a car.
What?
That's right. Rachel Marie of Macomb, Wisconsin, managed to get her hands on one packet of the stuff and listed it up for trade on a Facebook group for swapping pins. And somehow, she instead managed to exchange it for a red 2004 Volkswagen GTI.
Come on. No way.
That's what they say. I mean, I haven't seen it in person, but that's what they say. Strangely enough, this isn't the first time a McDonald's sauce has reached an insane valuation. A coveted bottle of a special Mulan edition of the Szechuan sauce fetched $14,000 on eBay earlier this year, while a bottle of Big Mac sauce went for around $16,000, making a lucrative career as a McDonald's sauce broker seem like an actual possibility.
But this was not a thing when I was in college, or I would have jumped
right
on this.
We obviously took a wrong path when it comes to careers.
Sauce broker.
We come here at 3 a.m. every morning, right, where we should be waiting online for sauce.
At home.
Right,
or
right,
just at home in our pajamas dealing this stuff,
right,
online.
Exactly. Now we could do it online. You don't even have to go to the, an open air market or anything to do it.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
How do I not find... Okay, here's what we're going to do. We are going to offer to do this show from somebody's house who will pony up big money just to have us come in. That's it. We'll be like the broadcast version of Szechuan sauce. That's what's going to happen.
Big money or just a packet of sauce? That's probably more valuable than the money at this point.
Right. That's right. We'll come to your home,
yeah,
take your one packet of sauce,
right,
and then we'll try to trade it for a car or something.
Exactly.
Wow.
And if you're going to rob a bank, Gordon, but aren't sure the best way to go about it, what would you do? Well, you do pretty much what everyone does when they need an answer to a question these days. You'd Google it. That's apparently what happened in Pinellas County, Florida, where authorities say a man arrested on a bank robbery charge told deputies he did a Google search for how to rob a bank prior to the incident.
Mm.
Deputies said 26-year-old William Joe Johnson walked into the bank just prior to 11 a.m. on October 5th, approached a teller, implied he had a gun, and demanded cash. Unfortunately for Johnson, he forgot to Google how to disguise yourself because after fleeing on foot, deputies posted security camera photos to Facebook, then identified the man as Johnson. The sheriff's office said Johnson told investigators he had already spent all the money from the incident and thought he'd done so well the first time that he planned to rob another bank Tuesday before he was caught.
Mm.
See, he didn't Google everything.
No.
And perhaps wearing a disguise would have been a good idea.
Well, you know, I think this is not all his fault either. In his defense, I think he might want to consider suing the site he wound up landing on for the instructions, which apparently failed to tell him,
yes,
how to disguise himself.
Yes, false information.
So then we could just continue this insane story in one giant loop,
right,
where he's an idiot, and then he sues the site for helping him to not be a better idiot.
It wouldn't be the craziest lawsuit we've ever heard. Let's face facts.
Incredible. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Glad you could be with us on this finally Friday. Disappointing report from the government about our waistlines. Bottom line, we are still fat. Even worse, young kids are seeing the biggest jump in being overweight. Overall, obesity figures stayed about the same. About 40% of adults are obese and 18.5% of children. Those numbers are a slight increase from the last report. Worrisome to experts is the rate for children and teenagers, which had hovered around 17% for a decade. The 2 to 5 age group had the biggest rise. 2 years ago, 9% of them were overweight. The number last year jumped to 14%. In recent years, state and national health officials have focused on obesity in kids who were the target of the Let's Move campaign, remember, by former First Lady Michelle Obama in 2010. Other findings, by age, the fattest adults in their 40s and 50s. The obesity rate for that age group is 41% for men, 45% for women. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, they're trying to find lost loved ones, sift through the remains of lost homes, count, identify, and mourn the dozens of dead, all while the fires rage on. Northern California communities are preparing for another day under siege, despite being driven to exhaustion by evacuations, destruction, and danger amid the deadliest week of wildfires the state has ever seen. Sonoma County Sheriff Robert Giordano.
Currently, we have 1,100 missing persons reports. 745 of them, roughly, have been located safe. So we're whittling that list down. Again, communication issues. We're getting through it.
The death toll.
We still have 400 outstanding.
The death toll has risen above 30. President Trump plans to deliver a broad and harsh critique of Iran in a speech today, declaring that the landmark Iran nuclear deal is not in the U.S.'s national security interest. Trump's speech will outline specific faults he finds in the 2015 accord, but will also focus on an array of Iran's non-nuclear activities. An American woman, her Canadian husband, and their three children have been freed after 5 years of being held in captivity by an extremist group in Afghanistan. Caitlin Coleman and Joshua Boyle, abducted in 2012 while on a trip to Afghanistan, had been held by an Afghan extremist group affiliated with the Taliban. Joshua Boyle's father is overjoyed at their rescue.
Kate was very prophetic in her last video that we released last week in saying if all five of them get out alive, it will be a miracle. So we're here as a miracle, guys.
Pakistani security forces located and stopped a vehicle carrying the hostages. A gunfight broke out and the hostage takers got away, but the family was rescued. Well, the Girl Scouts aren't too happy with the Boy Scouts' decision to admit girls to their ranks. The organization says the Boy Scouts should have reached out to share that information before this week's public announcement. Boy Scouts will start welcoming girls into the Cub Scouts next year, and a program for older girls is set to start in 2019. The Girl Scouts say they will now double down with a commitment to empowering girls.
Oh, that seems to really have worked out well for all parties involved.
It's a little weird, isn't it?
Nobody's happy with the Boy Scouts decision, and now the Girl Scouts are unhappy that the Boy Scouts are allowing girls. Great job, everybody. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is under attack, a Twitter account called @forargument is there to fight back. Under the name Jones Smith, it has no followers, no profile picture. It's been quiet for long periods, but @forargument has roared to life recently, rising up to vigorously defend Mr. Goodell against perceived attacks on his handling of issues like the national anthem protest by players. Late last month, @ProFootballTalk tweeted that it was on the commissioner to solve the anthem issues. In response, @ForArgument tweeted, quote, please do better reporting. He is already doing this. You are behind. The person operating the account? The Wall Street Journal, after poking around, found that it's the commissioner's wife, Jane Skinner Goodell, former TV news anchor. That a prominent person has a secret Twitter account, by the way, is not altogether surprising. Former FBI Director James Comey and NBA Commissioner Adam Silver use them to track other accounts they do not tweet publicly. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.